Section 2. The Health Food Work. Introduction to the 1934 Collection, a mimeographed compilation made in 1934. As consideration was being given in 1934 to the future of the Loma Linda Food Factory, officers of the Pacific Union Conference requested the White Estate to assemble and make available materials which would be of service as they should plan for the future of that institution. The compilation made available at that time comprises this section. In mimeograph form, it has reached the hands of many. It is fitting that it should now be combined with the materials on health food work published in the Testimonies for the Church, and a few items from Councils on Diet and Foods not represented elsewhere, to make one reference document. A. L. White. As a school industry, as we are about to establish our facilities for the manufacture of health foods, the question has come up, how shall we treat this matter? Where shall we locate the work so important to ourselves and to the school established in Korenbong? Shall this branch of business be established in Korenbong and thus open ways and means whereby many more students may obtain an all-round education? From the light given me in regard to the location and building up of our school interests, I know that it is the purpose of God that this institution be established at a distance from the city that is so full of temptations and snares, of amusements and holidays, which are not conducive to purity and piety and religious devotion. He designs that we shall connect manual labor with the improvement of the mental powers. I have been shown that study in agricultural lines should be the study and see of the educational work of our school. This institution must not depend upon imported produce, for the fruits so essential to healthfulness, and for their grains and vegetables. This is the very first work that must be entered upon. Then, as we shall advance and add to our facilities, advanced studies and object lessons should come in. We are not to subtract from that which has already been taken hold of as a branch of education. Again, our youth, both men and women, should be taught how to cook savingly and to dispense with everything in the line of flesh foods. This is a very serious matter to the world. Thousands of human beings who subsist upon the flesh of dead animals are suffering and dying from causes of which they are ignorant. By painstaking effort, they can be taught to discriminate between a proper, healthful diet and the use of flesh meats. No encouragement should be given in the training of our youth to prepare dishes which are composed in any degree of flesh meats, for this is pointing to the darkness and ignorance of Egypt rather than to the purity of health reform. Teach the students to prepare healthful drinks from grains suitably prepared to take the place of tea. This drink is unhealthful in its purest preparation, and it is so adulterated, mixed with other ingredients that resemble tea, that it has become a dangerous beverage. The question has been asked me, have you any light for us? If so, give it to us. From time to time, many things have been opened before me, and often light has come just before difficulties have arisen. Thus it was when I was at Stanmore a few weeks ago. All through the night, in my dreams, we were making changes. Some were packing up and moving to other localities. When examination was made of the purpose of each, there was much said. Some said they were on the way to Korenbong, where they intended to locate in connection with the school. They said they purposed to work as work should be provided for them in any line whatever. If they could not take all the studies, they would take what they could and learn how to work. This, they said, would fit them for practical life and for the work to be done in the missionary fields. They said they could see that great changes must be wrought in their own minds in the living policy before they could be prepared to enlighten other minds. Good ideas were brought out in regard to temperance in eating and drinking. Said they, we must first learn ourselves. Then, as we shall go out to do missionary work for others, we can give them our own experience. In Korenbong, we shall have the most favorable opportunities, not only to obtain a practical knowledge of how to work, but we shall also learn how to read and study our Bibles. Then we shall know in our own experience the words of David in the 119th Psalm. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Quite a number, both of men and women, were awakened to a purpose. Then, questions were asked as to the advisability of educating others to supply the place of meat and tea and coffee with a more healthful diet. Should we make known our methods and thus cut off from ourselves the benefits we might receive in establishing the trade in the colonies? Should we give away the science of how to make these healthful foods? Should we teach the poor people how they can live without using the flesh of dead animals? Should we teach the poor people who come into the truth how to plant and raise nuts, how to produce for themselves those things which would cost too much if they bought them prepared by other hands? Should we teach them how to prepare these foods for themselves? These seem to be important questions and hard to solve. Then the voice of wisdom was heard. The subject of health reform is a great subject, an important subject, and this missionary work is to be carried into the highways and byways of life. The third angel's message is present truth for 1898, and the health question is as closely connected with the message as the arm is with the body. Therefore, light must be given to the best methods of introducing health reform. Meat is the greatest disease breeder that can be introduced into the human system. But you cannot teach health reform unless you present the most inexpensive methods of living. The enemy must have no advantage in any line. The Lord can only bless those who are keeping every precept He has given in relation to this life. I see a work to be done that may appear to be working against our own interests financially. This is to give to others that information which we would have others give us. Teach those whom we wish to restore to correct principles of health reform how to prepare for themselves the simple nut foods. They are too poor to obtain these if they do not work them up for themselves. There is a work to be done by our churches that few have any idea of. I was an hungered, Christ said, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Matthew 25, verse 35, 36. We shall have to give of our means to support laborers in the harvest field, and we shall rejoice in the sheaves gathered in. But while this is right, there is a work as yet untouched that must be done. The mission of Christ was to heal the sick, encourage the hopeless, bind up the brokenhearted. This work of restoration is to be carried on among the needy, suffering ones of humanity. God calls not only for your benevolence, but your cheerful countenance, your hopeful words, the grasp of your hand. Relieve some of God's afflicted ones. Some are sick, and hope has departed. Bring back the sunlight to them. There are souls who have lost their courage. Speak to them. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. There is a soul sickness no balm can reach, no medicine heal. Pray for these and bring them to Jesus Christ. And in all your work, Christ will be present to make impressions upon human hearts. This is the kind of medical missionary work to be done. Bring the sunshine of the Son of Righteousness into the rooms of the sick and suffering. Teach the inmates of poor homes how to cook. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, with temporal and spiritual food. Christ invites you, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Character of Workers. We have set forth the advantages of the school land in Kuranbong. We have shown that the Bible was our guide and teacher in establishing the school here. The latest design is to have a health food manufacturing business here. This means grave responsibilities. It calls for men who fear God, who recognize Him as present in all their transactions, men who are true, who are respectful, are courteous in every position, who are amiable, who are fitted to guide and direct others. They are to be polite, Christian gentlemen. Christ is to be their strength and their righteousness. The youth who connect with them are to see in them characters that are fragrant with good works. They are to hear from their lips peaceable words which do not stir up strife. They are to see in them men who look upon all human beings as the purchase of the blood of the Son of God, who will speak to them with affection, tenderness, and love. To those who occupy a position as directors, I would say, as stewards of Christ, you are to act as shepherds of those whom you direct. Speak gently. Let not one authoritative word escape your lips. Lord it not over God's heritage. Make the work of those you direct pleasant and cheerful. Set them an example of how to teach others to respect their pupils. As you do this, God will abundantly bless. If the youth feel that they have the companionship of those who direct them, they will give them their confidence and love. There should be no harsh dictation. It is a part of the education given in the school to teach good manners. All young men and young women have their temptations and trials. Unadvised dictatorship, words that show that he who ought to be a servant of Christ cherishes an accusing spirit, causes the leaven of evil to begin its work. The spirit of strife, harshness, and contention comes in, and Christ is dishonored. His name is not magnified. A wide field. Health foods are to be manufactured in Korenbong and are to be sent out to every place where the standard of truth is uplifted. The secular papers are dealing with the question of the cattle that are brought to the market diseased. Out of 20 cattle, only one or two are pronounced fit for consumption. This is arousing the reasoning mind. What can be done to take the place of flesh meat, the people ask. This is our time to work in proper lines, to go forth in the spirit of Elijah, and prepare the way of the Lord. God's substitute for unhealthful foods. In reply to a question asked regarding the connection of the health food business and the school, Sister White gave the following reply during a talk Sabbath afternoon, July 22, 1899. The light given me is that it will not be very long before we shall have to give up using any animal food. Even milk will have to be discarded. Disease is accumulating rapidly. The curse of God is upon the earth, because man has cursed it. The habits and practices of men have brought the earth into such a condition that some other food than animal food must be substituted for the human family. We do not need flesh food at all. God can give us something else. When we were talking about this land, it was said, nothing can be raised here. Nevertheless, I said, the Lord can spread a table in the wilderness. Under His direction, food will go a long way. When we place ourselves in right relation to Him, He will help us, and the food we eat in obedience to Him will satisfy us. We can subsist on very much less than we think we can if God's blessing is on the food, and if it is for His glory, He can multiply it. We need to understand that God is in the health reform movement. When we put Christ in it, it is right for us to grasp every probability and possibility. The health food business is to be connected with our school, and we should make provision for it. We are erecting buildings for the care of the sick, and food will be required for the patients. Wherever an interest is awakened, the people are to be taught the principles of health reform. If this line of work is brought in, it will be the entering wedge for the work of presenting the truth. The health food business should be established here. It should be one of the industries connected with the school. God has instructed me that parents can find work in this industry and send their children to school. But everything that is done should be done with the greatest simplicity. There is to be no extravagance in anything. Solid work is to be done, because, unless the work is done solidly, a slipshod experience is the result. We need solid, well-developed workers in every line. The work must be solid. Just as soon as the helpers in this line of work are controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Lord will give them tact and intelligence in the manufacturing of foods, just as He gave the workers on the tabernacle understanding and ability. He will enable them to do the right kind of work in building up the tabernacle of the body. Human confederacies. God calls upon us to move carefully. He warns us against confederating with unbelievers. We are not to bind ourselves up with them in business relations. No one is excusable who does this. Those whom the Lord has appointed to do His work should not bind themselves to comply with certain restrictions in regard to the sale of health foods. He who does this is not wearing the yoke of Christ, but a yoke framed by human devising. The Lord is the owner of all things, and the instruction given me is that we are to let alone that which cannot be handled without compliance with certain restrictions. The Lord is the manager of His own goods, and He will give counter orders to the restrictions which bind His servants. They must be left free to act as circumstances demand. God knows all about the goods He wishes us to handle in His service. He can see beneath the surface and can read the motives which lead men to restrict those who are workers together with God. Men place restrictions on their fellow workers in order that they may reach certain ends. But by making it necessary for others to come exactly to their terms, they may bind about a work which God has declared must advance. They desire to gain a certain object, and they use for themselves the tact and talent given them by God. No monopoly in the health food work. When there is presented before any church or any company of believers in any country, the proposition to bind those who handle the health foods to a contract to conform to certain restrictions which man has made, the answer is always to be, no. God's work is not bound. If God has given Dr. Kellogg wisdom from His immense fountain of supplies, if He has given him means and scientific knowledge to meet the emergencies of the present time, does this impartation give him a patent right to this gift bestowed on him, to show that God has not forgotten His people? This gift belongs not to Dr. Kellogg, but to the great power beyond. Dr. Kellogg has forgotten that he is a man who has to be trained and educated like other men. God has greatly honored him, and will continue to honor him as long as he will wear Christ's yoke and learn in Christ's school His meekness and lowliness. But Dr. Kellogg did not create himself. He is not the only one who can drink from the fountain of knowledge. The Lord has other men whom He will instruct. Dr. Kellogg was not given his knowledge from God that he might carry it as a product of his own creating. If through the wisdom donated by God for the benefit of His people, Dr. Kellogg has discovered something in regard to health foods, why should he feel that these productions are his own? It is a part of God's work, and is very far from being perfect, yet everyone connected with the Lord is at liberty to devise and plan and experiment from the wisdom which the Lord has in His bounty given him. God will give knowledge regarding the way in which to prepare food in the best and most wholesome manner, and the Lord forbid that any of His people should make one stroke with the pen in signing a contract, saying they will do this or that in regard to the sale of these foods. Great improvements will be made in the line of health foods. Some foods will be found not to be prepared in the best and most wholesome manner. The Lord calls for men and women who will not stop where they are, but will work until under heaven's guidance, these productions are more perfect than they now are. Let skillful minds take up the matter of improvement. The Lord will give wisdom. But remember that when you begin to think that your wisdom is of your own creation, and that you have a right to bind about as you will the productions of this wisdom, you are off Christ's ground. You are making crooked paths for your feet, and many that are lame will be turned out of the way. God calls for men who will receive to impart. The Lord's work is not to be done in a corner. Impartial, unselfish witnesses are to give to others that which the Lord has given them, bearing a spontaneous testimony. One success in reform is to lead on to another, and still another success. This result will be seen if God's workers are learning in the school of Christ. They will then realize that they are not to draw into their business transactions one thread of selfishness. God says, "Ye are the light of the world." We are to exhibit in our borders all the improvements that our God-given tact and knowledge have enabled us to make. Everything which has a practical bearing on the improvement of the work is not to become the property of one man, for it comes from the Heavenly Father, who gave manna from heaven to the whole camp of Israel. That which men achieve by means of the wisdom God has given them is not to be used merely to advance one line of the work, but is to be used to promote the cause of God as a whole. A part of God's service. I have something to say to you. The Lord has opened a place for you in the food factory. He has blessed you and has given you tact and understanding for the work. Until you have positive evidence that it is your duty to change your position, remain where you are. You are blessed above many youth, for you have the society of your mother, while so many are forced to be separated from home influences. I am impressed by the Lord to say to you, my youthful brother, that someone must do the work you are doing. In the position in which you are placed, you have been obtaining the best experience a young man can have. The Lord desires to have, in connection with this institution, men and women who love and fear Him. Those who are engaged in the work of preparing health foods are just as much in the service of God as if they were in the dentistry business or in the medical missionary work. As you help to prepare health foods, you are doing God's service. When you have thoroughly mastered your present trade, you will be able to do good service in teaching the people how to prepare healthful food. This line of work is as essential as any work you could take up. It is a most important education for young men and young women, for in the future, this class of work will find acceptance where many other kinds of work will not be acceptable. A work of God's appointment. No one is to strive to become a great manufacturer of health foods or to establish a monopoly in this business. Let no one seek to control the food business. Let everyone do his God-appointed work in combining natural products to make healthful foods. The work of combining fruits, seeds, grains, and roots into wholesome foods is the Lord's work. In every place where a church has been established, let the church members walk humbly before God. Let them seek to enlighten the people with health reform principles. Rational reforms. Great reforms are to be made. Many changes will be required as we strive to advance the cause of reform. But reforms which belong to the future must not be brought into the present. We are to advance step by step. Reforms are not to be brought in as innovations, but as natural consequences. Then they will be great blessings. There is danger that in presenting the principles of health reform, some will be in favor of bringing in changes that would be for the worse instead of for the better. Health reform must not be urged in a radical manner. As the situation now is, we cannot say that milk and eggs and butter should be entirely discarded. We must be careful to make no innovations, because under the influence of extreme teaching, there are conscientious souls who will surely go to extremes. Their physical appearance will injure the cause of health reform, for few know how to properly supply the place of that which they discard. The Lord desires us to be wise to resist the evil and discern the good. God has been giving me instruction that He will give men in various countries ability to produce healthful foods, so that the human machinery can be kept in good order without the use of any food which contains injurious properties. By His Holy Spirit, the Lord will guide His workers in the preparation of foods, and the profits from these foods are not to be used merely for the benefit of the sanitariums. God builds no such partition walls. These profits are to be used for the good of suffering humanity everywhere. In the field in which you are working, Australia, there is much to be learned regarding the preparation of healthful foods. Foods that are perfectly healthful and yet inexpensive are to be made. To the poor, the gospel of health is to be preached. In the manufacture of these foods, ways will be opened up whereby those who accept the truth and lose their work will be able to earn a living. The productions which God has supplied are to be made up into healthful foods which people can prepare for themselves. Then we can appropriately present the principles of health reform, and those who hear will be convinced of the consistency of these principles and will accept them. But until we can present health reform foods which are palatable, nourishing, and yet inexpensive, we are not at liberty to present the most advanced phases of health reform in diet. A question of rights. Satan will tempt those who have been taught by God to make healthful foods to say, when others use the productions of earth and tree in making foods that may perhaps be somewhat similar, that they are infringing on their rights. But God never designed that a few men should monopolize the advantages of the food interests, forcing others, who need the same advantage, to bind themselves to fulfill certain conditions. The health foods are now regarded as of man's originating. And if any other productions are made, the thought arises, are they not infringing on our rights? But the health foods are of God's originating, as a blessing to His people. They are not to be bound about and held under the control of the powers of Battle Creek as their special property. This business is God's property, and He will give enlightenment to other human agencies for its development. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. We are not to follow the principle of wealthy worldly men, of buying up and storing the whole supply of a food product, and then making people pay a high price for it. For thus the poor are made to suffer. In all parts of our world, experiments will be made, processes invented, and methods discovered in the preparation and manufacture of healthful foods that can be used for the benefit of all the people. The all-wise God, who has given light and wisdom to one party, will not withhold his light and wisdom from others who are just as devoted to the interests of our sanitariums and all lines of medical missionary work. There are to be new food industries. Foods that are perfectly healthful and yet inexpensive are to be made, and thus the way will be opened for those to find work who, by accepting the truth, have been thrown out of employment. The Lord God of heaven will give understanding to his human agents. Simple and inexpensive foods. To many in different places, the Lord will give intelligence in regard to health foods. He can spread a table in the wilderness. Health foods should be prepared by our churches who are trying to practice the principles of health reform. But as surely as they should do this, some would say that they are infringing on their rights. But who gave them wisdom to prepare these foods? The God of heaven. That same God will give wisdom to his people in the different countries to use the productions of these countries in preparing health foods. In simple, inexpensive ways, our people are to experiment with the fruits and grains and roots in the country in which they live. In the different countries, inexpensive health foods are to be manufactured for the benefit of the poor. The message God has given me is that his people in foreign lands are not to depend for their supply of health foods on the importation of health foods from America. The freight and the duty make the cost of these foods so high that the poor, who are just as precious in the sight of God as the wealthy, cannot have the advantage of them. In missionary fields, health foods are God's productions, and he will teach his people in missionary fields so to combine the productions of the earth that simple, inexpensive, wholesome foods will be provided. If they will seek wisdom from God, he will teach them how to plan and devise. I am instructed to say, forbid them not. When the message comes to those who have not heard the truth for this time, they see that a great reformation must take place in their diet. They see that they must put away flesh food because it creates an appetite for liquor and fills the system with disease. By meat eating, the physical, mental, and moral powers are weakened. Man is built up from that which he eats. Animal passions bear sway as the result of meat eating, tobacco using, and liquor drinking. The Lord will give his people wisdom to prepare from that which the earth yields, foods that will take the place of flesh meat. Simple combinations of nuts and grains and fruits, manufactured with taste and skill, will commend themselves to unbelievers. But as a usual thing, too many nuts are used in the combinations made. Progressive light. In the appropriation of means for the health foods, you have not considered whose property you are handling. You are not your own. God has given to many minds jots and tittles and wisdom, one here and one there, with tact and ability. And although you have adjusted these gifts entrusted to varied minds so as to compose a large business in health foods, are not others to be privileged to use their God-given wisdom in devising health foods as well as you? And have they not the right to use them in a way that will benefit the cause of God and meet the necessity that exists and will always continue to exist? Why should strong barricades be built up in this manner? The light given me is that no one person has been especially endowed with a recipe to make the greatest variety of health foods. The recipes already given have been practiced upon, and in doing this, other brains have been aroused and will continue to be sharp under the training of God. They are not to feel that the door is closed, that no more investigation can be made, because there is to be much more devising and planning of human minds, and no man is to forbid it. The work will be committed to human agencies. God did not design that this work should be shut up with a few, and the rest of the human family remain in darkness as to the preparation of health foods. The Lord would have people in all parts of the world to become intelligent in regard to using the productions of the soil in every locality. The products of each locality are to be studied and carefully investigated, to see if they cannot be combined in such a way as to simplify the production of foods and lessen the cost of manufacture and transportation. Let all do their best under the Lord's supervision to accomplish this. There are many expensive articles of food that the genius of man can combine, and yet there is no real need of using the most expensive preparations. 3 years ago, a letter came to me saying, "I cannot eat the nut foods. My stomach cannot take care of them." Then there were several recipes presented before me. One was that there must be other ingredients combined with the nuts, which would harmonize with them, and not use such a large proportion of nuts. 1/10 to 1/6 part of nuts would be sufficient, varied according to combination. We tried this, and with success. Other things were mentioned. One thing spoken of was sweetened crackers or biscuit. They are made because someone likes them, and then many obtain them who should not eat them. There are yet many improvements to be made, and God will work with all who will work with Him. A legitimate conference enterprise. In the southern fields, there should be facilities for the manufacture of inexpensive, necessary health foods. Worldly policy is not to be brought into this work. Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It was not established by human power, and human power cannot overthrow it. All the gifts of God come to us through Jesus Christ. In giving His Son to our world, God gave all heaven. And in everything connected with the health food business, God is the one who is to be honored and glorified. The Lord Jesus desires all to understand His declaration, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28, verse 18. Concerning the manufacture and sale of health foods in the southern field, I would say, if the Southern Union Conference will choose men of ability and strict economy to take up this work for the benefit of the cause in the South, it is well. But the greatest wisdom and economy will have to be exercised in order to make this work a success. If proper men are found to take up this work, then let the whole Union Conference take hold with unselfish interest to make their work a success. In this movement, I can see that industries may be established which will help the cause in the southern field. And centers of influence may be established in many places by the opening up of food stores and restaurants. All that men as missionaries for God can do for the southern field should be done. The light I have been given is that in every effort made to manufacture health foods in the southern field, the business should be conducted not as a speculation for personal benefit, but as a business that God has devised whereby a door of hope may be opened for the people. The spirit of selfish monopoly must not enter into this work, but the spirit to help the people to get healthful foods freely and at moderate prices. This work must not be carried on in the South just as it has been in the North. The health food business should be regarded as God's gift to His people. In connection with the commoner foods which you may make in the South, you may be able to arrange to handle many of the special foods manufactured by our people at Battle Creek. In all our work, we are to remember that the same Jesus who fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes is able today to give us the fruit of our labor. He who said to the fishers of Galilee, "Let down your nets for a draught," and who, as they obeyed, filled their nets till they broke, desires His people to see in this an evidence of what He will do for them today. The same God who gave the children of Israel manna from heaven lives and reigns. He will give skill and understanding in the preparation of health foods. He will guide His people in the preparation of health foods. He will guide His people in the preparation of wholesome food. He desires them to see what they can do in the preparation of such food, not only for their own families, which is their first responsibility, but for the help of the poor. They are to show Christ-like liberality, realizing that they are representing God and that all they have is His endowment. Inexpensive foods. The food business, if entered into largely, is going to be most perplexing and soul-harrowing. Those who take it up, whatever talent the Lord may give them, will meet with many perplexities. I have been instructed that the production of health foods is of the Lord's devising and is not to be regarded as the special property of any one man. But no one should take what I say as giving liberty to infringe on Dr. Kellogg's patents or the patents of any man. The Lord will most surely impress minds in every place to devise means for the maintenance of the interests which are to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and teach the ignorant, educating them in simple lines of book learning and in agriculture. He will give them wisdom to manufacture necessary, wholesome foods, which will be more needed in the southern states than in any other part of America. He who feeds the ravens and cares for the wild beasts will give wisdom and skill, talent and ingenuity, for the production of wholesome foods, which are to be sold to the poor at as low a rate as possible. Wisdom and economy. There is much at stake in this work. The wholesome productions of the earth must be experimented upon in an effort to make wholesome, inexpensive foods. The food business is to be made the subject of earnest prayer. Let the people ask God for wisdom to prepare wholesome foods. He who fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes will supply the needs of his children today. After Christ had performed this wonderful miracle, he gave a lesson on economy. After the hunger of the multitude had been satisfied, he said, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Like the manna. I must now give to my brethren the instruction that the Lord has given me in regard to the health food question. By many the health foods are looked upon as of man's devising, but they are of God's originating, as a blessing to his people. The health food work is the property of God, and is not to be made a financial speculation for personal gain. The light that God has given and will continue to give on the food question is to be to his people today what the manna was to the children of Israel. The manna fell from heaven, and the people were told to gather it and prepare it to be eaten. So in the different countries of the world, light will be given to the Lord's people, and health foods suited to these countries will be prepared. The members of every church are to cultivate the tact and ingenuity that God will give them. The Lord has skill and understanding for all who will use their ability in striving to learn how to combine the productions of the earth so as to make simple, easily prepared, healthful foods, which will take the place of flesh meat, so that people will have no excuse for eating flesh meat. Those who are given a knowledge of how to prepare such foods must use their knowledge unselfishly. They are to help their poor brethren. They are to be producers as well as consumers. It is God's purpose that health foods shall be manufactured in many places. Those who accept the truth are to learn how to prepare these simple foods. It is not the Lord's plan that the poor shall suffer for the necessaries of life. The Lord calls upon his people in the different countries to ask him for wisdom, and then to use aright the wisdom he gives. We are not to settle down in hopelessness and discouragement. We are to do our best to enlighten others. Not a work for the ministry. Our ministers appointed to stand as watchmen on the walls of Zion must not take upon themselves the burden of health food manufacture or the establishment of health food stores. Neither must they bind themselves down to other business enterprises. This is a hindrance to the advancement of the work God says they are to do. The use of nut foods. Careful attention should be given to the proper use of nut foods. Some kinds of nuts are not so wholesome as others. Do not reduce the bill of fare to a few articles composed largely of nut foods. These foods should not be used too freely. If they were used more sparingly by some, the results would be more satisfactory. As combined in large proportions with other articles in some of the recipes given, they make the food so rich that the system cannot properly assimilate it. The health food manager. The one who is placed in charge of the food business should be a careful, economical man, who will move forward steadily and yet carefully, binding off the edges and making sure that the business is producing as well as consuming. Connected with sanitariums. The Lord desires us to be sensible and to reason from cause to effect. Wherever a sanitarium is established, facilities are to be provided, to a greater or smaller extent, as the case may demand, for the preparation of health foods. In the future, it will be impossible to transport the health foods from America. And for other reasons, it will be better to make your foods where you are, as far as possible. We are living amidst the perils of the last days, and the Lord desires his people to establish industries in different countries. Industries should be established in connection with the Warunga Sanitarium, but at the present time, it is impossible to define exactly what they should be. This will open before you as you advance in your work. Dangers in the health food business. On the night of April 26th, scene after scene passed before me. I was talking to our people in Battle Creek, warning them most earnestly in regard to the dangers that would come upon us. The next night, I was again in meeting with my brethren, laboring most earnestly. One of authority was among us, and he said, "You rejoice that you have gained great victories, but you will certainly have severe conflicts." I thought that propositions were being made by our brethren in Battle Creek to establish food stores in many places. I was instructed that there was great danger that in this matter grave mistakes would be made. There is danger that this work will be treated as commercial business, and that it will be carried to an extreme. There is danger that men who are greatly needed just where they are will be encouraged to enter this business because of the wages offered. The end of all things is at hand. The Lord is looking upon the plans that are being made, and he says, "Beware lest men shall be induced to enter business enterprises who ought to be serving the Master as evangelists and canvassers and ministers." The worldly plans made in the past in regard to the food business may change somewhat, but there is danger that in many respects the same wood, hay, and stubble will be piled upon the foundation, and that the work that Christ ordained should be done in the food work will be left undone for work in which more financial gain will be secured. My brethren, watch unto prayer. The men who have obtained an experience that enables them to labor successfully for the Master, and who are doing good work in their various positions of trust, should not be encouraged to leave their present work for some other line of work. If they should follow the policy that will be advocated by some, leaving the place in which they are now working, to enter the health food work, the cause of the Lord, at the end of the year, would be far behind where it ought to be. Our instructor addressed the leaders in the health food work at Battle Creek, telling them that they must make straight paths for their feet. Should the plans for health food stores and hygienic restaurants be carried out just as they have been outlined, many souls would fall into snares and pitfalls. There are those who view in a favorable light the establishment of health food stores and restaurants, but they should understand that, like some other lines of work, this line may become altogether too absorbing. There may be brought into it too much business and too little principle. Thus, the work which, if rightly handled, might be a blessing, would become a curse. Great care must be shown in regard to the extension of the food work. I have been instructed that this work will prove a snare unless right plans are laid and unless caution is exercised. There is danger that worldly business plans will be brought into the food work, and that the minds of the workers will become absorbed by business cares and will thus become dead to religious things. Bribes in the form of high wages must not be offered to men to tempt them to leave positions where they are doing successful work for the Master, to enter the food work. Men who are already carrying heavy responsibilities must not be urged to accept heavier responsibilities than they can carry and preserve their spirituality. Plans must not be laid in regard to this that will create perplexity and difficulty. This is a snare that the enemy would be pleased to see laid for the entanglement of our feet. There are those who can successfully carry a certain amount of work, but who become overwearied, fractious, and impatient when there is crowded upon them a larger amount of work than they have physical or mental strength to perform. They lose the love of God out of the heart, and then they lose courage and faith, and the blessing of God is not with them. There are physicians who have lost their spiritual power because they have done double the work that they ought to have done. When men are asked or tempted to take more work than they can do, let them say firmly, "I cannot consent to do this. I cannot safely do more than I am doing." The food business is not to be so managed that it will absorb in it the talent needed elsewhere. No plans are to be followed that tend to make a great hole of the food work and thus deprive other branches of the cause of God of their workers. Men and women must not be led to engage in a commercial line of work which will not help them to perfect a Christian character. We need canvassers, evangelists, ministers who have received the Holy Spirit and who are partakers of the divine nature. We need workers who are able to talk with God and then with the people. I am alarmed as I see how many obstructions are coming in to divert men from evangelistic work and thus hinder the work of God. As our restaurants are presented to me, They are not doing the work that they should be doing to bring souls into the truth. I warn those who should be in the canvassing work, circulating the books so much needed everywhere, to be careful not to turn from the work that the Lord has called them to. Let not the men that God has called to do gospel work become entangled with business perplexities. Let them keep their souls in the atmosphere most favorable to spirituality. Let them not place themselves where they will find many temptations, where they will be absorbed in cares that will lead them to be regardless of the preparation necessary for the courts above. God wants every worker who claims to believe the present truth to consecrate himself, body, soul, and spirit, to the work of seeking to save the perishing souls around him. I have been given a presentation of how the food work, if conducted as a commercial enterprise, will spread and become a dangerous element in our work. I am bidden to say to men and women, keep your conscience clear before God. Do not place yourselves where you will be tempted and tried by the sight of your eyes and the hearing of your ears, so that you will lose your spiritual perception of what it means to be a Christian. Hold the standard firmly and raise it high. Let no one talk you into engaging in work that will hinder you from making the preparation that you must make in order to meet Christ in peace. Many things will come up to divert the minds of God's people from the great work to which they are called. May the Lord help them to labor in such a way that they will win the crown of immortal life. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Hebrews 3, verse 12 to 15. Let us therefore fear, lest, a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 4, verse 1, 2. There is a great and special work to be carried on in these last days, and the work is to be carried on in right lines. The Lord would have us understand that minds that are not daily enlightened by the Holy Spirit have not wisdom even concerning the carrying forward of the business enterprises, which, if properly managed, would tell for the advancement of God's cause. In these days of peril, we must avoid anything that has a tendency to divert the mind from the great work to be done. To gain means for the accomplishment of certain results, we may make plans that appear to be wise and just and rational. But were these plans carried out, the future might show that they had accomplished little or nothing for the saving of souls. The Lord has not given orders that the food business be exalted to large proportions. It will take something more than food stores and factories, with their perplexities and their commercial business, to make an impression that will convert souls. Unless the standard of godliness is raised, unless the principles of heaven are manifest in all business dealings, more souls will be lost by connecting with the food stores than will be saved by the work of these stores. When the large food factory was erected in Los Angeles, the question was asked by one who knows the end from the beginning. Who will furnish the facilities necessary for the running of the business in this large building? Where is the talent necessary to operate such a plant? Where is the talent necessary to carry forward spiritual lines of work as they would have to be carried forward in order to produce the best results? There is danger that if this work is carried on as planned, workers, young and old, would be called in who would not maintain their spirituality. With the present clouded perception of righteousness, the way is open for injustice and selfishness to be shown, and this would provoke the wrath of God. It will not be wise to erect large food factories anywhere. Should this be done, there would be danger that they would be destroyed by those who are carrying out Satan's plans, unless there is a compliance with these plans. I have received light on the subject of large food factories, and the outlook is not favorable. If the food work is carried forward as many have planned, the final results will be the destruction of property and the destruction of souls. Providing promising contacts. I am carrying a heavy burden for the work and cause of God. as I see the lack of principle manifested and the feeble faith that is shown in the message that means so much to us, I am filled with fear. I am now obliged to write some things in regard to the danger of carrying the health food business and the restaurant work to extremes. I have written that restaurants should be established as a means of bringing those who know the truth into touch with the people of the world, and of providing opportunities of reaching these people with the message of present truth. Should those attending these restaurants reform in their habits of eating, they would be better prepared to listen to arguments in favor of the truth. But if by the restaurant work there is not awakened a deep and living interest in the things of eternal importance, what is gained by the work? Christ is hungry for souls, hungry to see those for whom he gave his life receiving the blessings placed within their reach. Shall he have died for them in vain? Satan will use every opportunity to seduce men from their allegiance to God. He and the angels who fell with him will appear on the earth as men seeking to deceive. God's angels also will appear as men and will use every means in their power to defeat the purposes of the enemy. We too have a part to act. We shall surely be overcome unless we fight manfully the battles of the Lord. It is in order that those who love God and keep his commandments may have as little hindrance as possible in their advancement in the heavenward way that they are warned not to live in the cities. If by our restaurant work souls are not won to the truth, what is gained by entering so largely into this work, which must be done in the cities? Will the result justify the effort put forth? Will it pay for our young men and young women to spend their time and energy in providing and serving food for worldlings, while they make no effort to save their souls, no effort to lead them to see the light of present truth? Make the health food work a blessing. For all who are engaged in the health food business, I have words of counsel. I have said that food stores and hygienic restaurants should be established in cities, and that they should be so conducted that they will be the means of reaching people with the gospel message for this time. All our restaurants are to be so conducted that there will not be an accumulation of debt. If debts accumulate, even though the patronage is large, there needs to be a careful, thorough investigation of the business, and such changes should be made as will put it on a paying basis. A restaurant should not be maintained at a continual financial loss. Recently, in the night season, we seemed to be in a council meeting. One of authority stood among us and questioned the workers who were bearing responsibilities in the food work. He asked, "Have you made this work merely a commercial matter? Are you carrying out the instruction that restaurants should be established to teach the people how to prepare wholesome food and to bring them to a knowledge of the present truth? To those whom you have met from day to day, have you spoken of the Christian's hope? Have meetings been appointed and talks given on Bible subjects?" The workers in our restaurants are to hunt and fish for souls. Meetings should be appointed at some convenient place, and notice of these meetings should be given to those coming to the restaurant for their meals. Some will attend and will thus be led to study the Bible and to ask questions regarding the truths which they have heard. Seek the Lord in prayer, asking Him to show you the best way in which to reach the people with whom you come in contact. Remember the words of the Savior, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Remember that different methods must be followed in dealing with different people. To some, you can give a tract. To others, you can put the question, "Do you love the Lord Jesus?" In the meetings that are held, talk in a way that will interest them. Deal with the subject on which you are speaking in so simple and practical a way that they cannot fail to understand. There are many so ignorant of the terms used by those who speak on spiritual subjects that they do not understand what they hear. Many who hear have so little interest in spiritual things that much of the effort put forth to give them religious instruction is like beating the air. If in your restaurant work you make no advancement in religious lines, what have you gained? Daily you are brought into association with many who perhaps all their lifetime have continued in sin. Some means of arresting their attention must be devised. They must be warned of their danger. If this work cannot be done in our restaurants, let them be discontinued. For what use is it to expend means and talent in a work that consumes without producing? Of what use is it for workers to spend their time preparing temporal food for men and women, while they neglect to offer them the bread of life and the water of salvation? Merely to provide temporal food is not a savor of life unto life. The servants of God are to watch for souls as they that must give an account. If in the restaurant work, more is not done to advance the work of soul saving than has been done in the past, the workers in the restaurants would better use their talents in lines of work that will do more to draw souls to Christ. The interests of Christ's kingdom are paramount to all else. We are not to bend our energies to the establishment of food stores and food factories merely to supply people with temporal food and make money. Thousands are perishing in sin, and the energies of God's people are to be put forth to arouse souls to a sense of their danger. We cannot afford to call our young men and young women into a work where they are brought in contact with the worldly element, if, instead of exerting an influence that will win souls to Christ, they are leavened by the worldliness. In every work to which the people of God put their hands, soul saving is to be made of the first importance. Let not those engaged in the food work think that their efforts can bear the approval of God unless they do all they possibly can to reach with the truth those whom they supply with temporal food. A decided warning. A most decided warning was given by our instructor. He repeated the following words, found in the 8th chapter of Isaiah. Say ye not, a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble, and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Isaiah 8, verse 12 to 15. Our instructor said, the food business may be so conducted as to be an injury instead of a blessing to the people of God. This line of work must be jealously guarded, else we shall find ourselves on the losing instead of the gaining side. The workers must be guarded. The barriers that I have placed between them and the world must not be taken down, lest they become leavened with worldliness. Unless great care is taken, some will fall into Satan's snares, seduced by the spirit of the world, and led to corrupt their ways. In the food business, there is a snare for all who engage in it without realizing their danger. The Lord is not pleased with the way in which this business has been carried on. No overburdening commercialism is to be brought into it. Those connected with this work need to heed the invitation to come to Christ and learn of Him His meekness and lowliness. There is a great work to be done in the world, and the Lord's servants are not to start enterprises of a commercial character, which will absorb the ability and tact and skill that God calls for in other lines of work. Just as soon as God's people lay off the burdens that He has not placed on them and obtain the robe of Christ's righteousness, just as soon as they begin to answer the prayer of Christ and to serve the Lord with all humility, the words of the 12th chapter of Isaiah will be fulfilled to them. Workers not to be drawn from other lines. The talents of God's people are to be employed in giving the last message of mercy to the world. The Lord calls upon those connected with our sanitariums, publishing houses, and other institutions to teach the youth to do evangelistic work. Our time must not be so largely employed in establishing sanitariums, food factories, food stores, and restaurants that other lines of work shall be neglected. Young men and young women who should be engaged in the ministry, in Bible work, and in the canvassing work should not be bound down to mechanical employment. The work of food manufacture and sale should be given a place of less consequence in our cause. There are those who have given themselves to this work who should now consecrate themselves to the doing of a higher work, the work of soul saving. Will not those who have entered into the enterprise of manufacturing foods ask themselves if there are not those whom they could feed with the bread of life, those who are in need of spiritual food? Let not the food business take the time of men and women who are efficient in the work of soul winning. These cannot afford to give their powers to the production of temporal food, when their voices should be heard in the east and in the west, in the north and in the south, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Educating by demonstration. There is a great work to be done in bringing the principles of health reform to the notice of the people. Public meetings should be held to introduce the subject, and schools should be held in which those who are interested can be told more particularly about our health foods and of how a wholesome, nourishing, appetizing diet can be provided without the use of meat, tea, or coffee. Thus we did in the early history of our work. We taught the people by demonstration that we can safely depend for the sustenance of life upon the productions which God gave our first parents in Eden. Let men engage in this work who can speak on the principles of health reform. Words of counsel regarding the health food work. Many years ago, the Lord gave us light regarding health reform. This light was designed to be a blessing to those in need of physical help, and to open doors for the proclamation of the truth. The light upon health reform should be better understood. As further light is revealed to God's people, they are to communicate the truth to others. I am instructed to say that the health food work is not at present being conducted as to greatly advance the work of God. The Lord has presented before me many dangers that threaten the management of this business. The Lord never designed that the manufacture and sale of health foods should become such a commercial business as it now is. This is not to become a speculative business, in which a few shall receive large personal profits. To many minds, God has given wisdom to devise healthful food preparations. The Lord would have a knowledge of diet reform imparted to the people of God. It is an essential part of the education to be given in our schools. As the truth is presented in new places, lessons should be given in hygienic cookery. Teach the people how they may live without the use of flesh meats. Teach them the simplicity of living. The Lord has been working, and is still working, to lead men to prepare from fruits and grains, foods more simple and less expensive than many of those that can now be obtained. Many cannot obtain these expensive food preparations, yet they need not necessarily live upon an impoverished diet. The same God who fed the thousands in the wilderness with bread from heaven will give to his people today a knowledge of how to provide food in a simple manner. I have a testimony to bear regarding the work of our restaurants. These institutions have absorbed much of the talent which could be used in evangelical work. In this enterprise, many are employed who, with Bible in hand, should be teaching in new places, flashing the light of truth into the mist and fog of error. Thus much talent and capability are absorbed in a work which, as now conducted, reveals but small results in the salvation of souls. The restaurants are carrying a burden which God has not laid upon them. The preparations of food are so expensive that the poorer class of people are unable to use them. There should be greater simplicity in the preparation of foods. As a people, we stand reproved of God because so much talent is absorbed in mere commercial interests, while the all-important work of soul-saving is left to languish. Such an intensity of effort should not be given to the manufacture and merchandise of food products, while souls are left to starve for the bread of life. God never designed that the manufacture of foods should be a snare to his people, as it certainly has been. The Lord gave this work to be a blessing to his people, but selfishness and greed and dishonesty have made it productive of great evils. That which God designed to be a blessing has absorbed and diverted from his work valuable talents. The health food work is not to be conducted as a selfish monopoly, in which a few shall gather to themselves large profits, while others, equally capable, are excluded as those having no rights. The Lord forbids anyone to force his brethren to sign contracts whereby he may appropriate to himself the benefits of the knowledge which has come from other minds. As God's peculiar people, we must stand free from every fraudulent transaction. Let not one thread of selfishness be drawn into the pattern. No cheap or unwholesome articles are to be placed before the public. Nothing should be represented as being pure and first class when it is really of inferior quality. Care must be taken lest we communicate to unscrupulous men a knowledge that will enable them to utilize as a source of income for themselves the light that God has given to be a blessing to His people. In the manufacture of so-called health foods, unprincipled men would introduce adulterations that would be injurious. Let every business transaction be done in righteousness, remembering that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, verse 11 to 17. We need to cut away from our lives everything that would absorb the mind and dull our sensibilities in the perception of the future eternal riches of glory. We should bring into our daily experience those things only which will enable us to strengthen and perfect our character, that we may reflect to others the light of heavenly things. There is a world to be warned. We are nearing the close of time. The Spirit of God is being withdrawn from the world. The Lord is calling us out of sleep. We have lost many precious opportunities, but let us lose no more time. The sunlight of truth is to shine forth to the world. Cast off the works of darkness and uncertainty. A reformation needed. Last week, we had an important gathering at the sanitarium here of our health food workers. I spoke to them on Sabbath. And on Sunday, I addressed them for about an hour upon the subject of our restaurant work. I told them that there must be a thorough reformation in the health food business. It is not to be regarded so much as a commercial enterprise. At present, but little is seen as the result of this work to lead us to recommend the establishment of more places to be conducted as our restaurants have been in the past. But few have been converted by this work in Los Angeles and in San Francisco. Many of the workers have lost the science of soul-saving. Please read carefully what is published in Testimonies, Volume 7, regarding the health food work and the evangelical work. I feel more and more impressed that we must make diligent efforts to present the truth. I need not now write much regarding these lines of work, for the light has been in print for some time. But since these testimonies were published, circumstances have arisen that reveal the necessity for the cautions that have been given. Health reform needs a reformation before it shall stand as God designs it should. We need to practice true godliness in every undertaking. In all the restaurants in our cities, there is danger that the combination of many foods in the dishes served shall be carried too far. The stomach suffers when so many kinds of food are placed in it at one meal. Simplicity is a part of health reform. There is danger that our work shall cease to merit the name which it has borne. If we would work for the restoration of health, it is necessary to restrain the appetite, to eat slowly, and only a limited variety at one time. This instruction needs to be repeated frequently. It is not in harmony with the principles of health reform to have so many different dishes at one meal. We must never forget that it is the religious part of the work, the work of providing food for the soul, that is more essential than anything else. Our young men and young women should be encouraged to attend schools away from the cities, that under intelligent teachers, they may receive a training that will fit them to stand on vantage ground. How can our young people advance spiritually while working as servants simply to prepare food for and serve worldlings? They often do unnecessary work in the preparation of foods that are not even wholesome. Shall our youth be encouraged to rest satisfied with such an education? The Lord does not design that His denominated people shall exhaust their strength to carry on restaurants in the manner in which they are now conducted. The many complicated combinations of food that are not wholesome tend to make of the health reform a health deform. The Loma Linda Bakery. Dear Brother Burden, the Lord has instructed me that it would be a mistake for us to plan for the production of large quantities of health foods at Loma Linda, to be distributed through commercial channels. Loma Linda is a place that has been especially ordained of God to make a good impression upon the minds of many who have not had the light of present truth. Every phase of the work in this place, every movement made, should be so fully in harmony with the sacred character of present truth as to create a deep spiritual impression. Everything connected with the institution at Loma Linda should, so far as possible, be unmingled with commercialism. Nothing should be allowed to come in that would in any wise lessen the favorable impression you are striving to make. If we manifest a genuine faith in eternal realities, this will have a far-reaching effect on the minds of others. We must allow nothing to hinder our efforts for the saving of souls. God requires us to leave impressions that will help awaken unbelievers to a realization of their duty. Let us use voice and pen in helping those who need clear discernment. Many are now inquiring, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We cannot answer this question satisfactorily by connecting with our sanitariums, the production of health foods for commercial gain. By our example, we are to leave upon the minds of our patients the impression that we are sustained and guided by the grace of God, and that we are keeping constantly in view the glory of the Lord. It is not rank, nor wealth, nor learning, nor power that lends influence to a Christian, but a willing mind and a heart consecrated to the cause of Christ. In the service of God, there is a place for everyone, and He is glorified when everyone is satisfied in filling the place appointed him. To His servants, He imparts grace sufficient for every duty. However humble may be their sphere of service, they may by His grace reveal that they are Christian gentlemen and Christian ladies. In the visions of the night, these principles were presented to me in connection with the proposal for the establishment of a bakery. At the time this letter was written, plans were being laid for the establishment of the health food factory within a few rods of the main sanitarium building at Loma Linda. I was shown a large building where many foods were made. There were also some smaller buildings near the bakery. As I stood by, I heard loud voices in dispute over the work that was being done. There was a lack of harmony among the workers, and confusion had come in. Then I saw Brother Burden approach. His countenance bore a look of anxiety and distress as he endeavored to reason with the workmen and bring them into harmony. The scene was repeated, and Brother Burden was often drawn away from his legitimate work as manager of the sanitarium to settle variances. He was carrying too heavy a load, and he looked careworn and perplexed. I then saw patients standing on the beautiful sanitarium grounds. They had heard the disputes between the workmen. The patients did not see me, but I could see them and hear them, and their remarks were brought to my ears. They were expressing words of regret that a food factory should be established on these beautiful grounds, in such close proximity to an institution for the care of the sick. Some were disgusted, and a most unfavorable impression was being made. How sorry I felt! All these buildings had cost money that should have been used in fitting up bathrooms, which would involve considerable expense. Then one appeared on the scene and said, "All this has been caused to pass before you as an object lesson, that you might see the result of carrying out certain plans. Sanitariums must help those who come to them by calling attention to the gospel truth. Commercialism must not take the place of the vital work to be done. This beautiful place came to us in the providence of God, and it should be kept as a restful, desirable, healthful retreat, to which we may call the sick, where they shall be greatly blessed physically, and where they can hear the evidences of present truth and the reasons for our faith." And then, lo, the whole scene changed. The bakery building was not where we had planned it, but at a distance from the sanitarium buildings, on the road toward the railway. It was a humble building, and a small work was carried on there. The commercial idea was lost sight of, and, in its stead, a strong spiritual influence pervaded the place. A suitable helper was given Brother Hansen at such times as he required help. The management of this small bakery did not bring a heavy responsibility upon Brother and Sister Burden. The patients were favorably impressed by what they saw. Loma Linda is to be not only a sanitarium, but an educational center. With the possession of this place comes the weighty responsibility of making the work of the institution educational in character. The school that is to be established at Loma Linda is to stand in the freedom of the truth. We shall have a work to do at Loma Linda in supplying health foods, in a limited way, to the surrounding cities. But it has been presented to me that in the establishment of a large food factory, you would be disappointed in your expectations. The influences connected with its management would not make a favorable impression upon the people. The Lord is able to make the proper impression upon human minds when we cooperate with Him and follow the plans that He outlines. The light given me is that in a food business large enough to supply Southern California, it would be difficult to avoid commercialism. And if the perplexing details were not attended to most carefully, there would be more expense than income. You can ill afford to spend the time that would be required to make the business a success. The Lord calls upon us to ascend a higher platform. Our example must exert a decided influence in favor of the doctrines we profess. Let us cling close to the teaching of the Word. Let us make the Word our counselor. The truths of the Word, carried out in our daily lives, will keep the soul pure and refined, noble and elevated. Walking in the light of the truth, self will be hid in constant love and fear of God. Before the world, the truth is to become majestic, for it reveals God in word, in spirit, in character. The words were spoken by my instructor. The influence to be constantly going out is that which is created by the light shining forth with clear, convincing power from every soul who claims to believe the truth. The Lord would have you exalt the truth in language, in faith, in practice. Those who are connected with you are in no wise to be permitted to become deficient in tenderness, in mercy, in refinement of speech. The heart is ever to be obedient unto God. Cling to your heavenly helper. Many are now perishing for want of knowledge. Shall we not give mind and soul and voice to proclaiming the truth as it is in Christ Jesus? To every worker, I would say, show to unbelievers that there is strength in God. Communicate your ideas in regard to what is required by the words of warning. Prepare to meet thy God. Sow the seeds of truth by all waters. Wake up the watchmen, and, with them, bear the message in words of power. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. The increase of your own experience will be proportionate to your individual trust and confidence in God. There are many, many to be converted through the instrumentality of men who will be taken from the plow and from the common vocations of life to engage in the great, grand work of giving soul-saving truth to the people. There are all classes to be reached. Those who have been called to labor in hygienic restaurants, where thousands are fed but are not given the bread of life, should inquire, "What is the way of the Lord?" There are some who are laboring in hygienic restaurants who should be breaking away and be giving themselves to the grand work of carrying the last gospel message to multitudes. They must make sure that the truth for this time is implanted within their own hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. Then, with minds cleansed from all sin, they will be able to feed the flock of God with pure provender, thoroughly winnowed from all fanciful and fatal delusions. There is a large work to be done. Sanitariums are to be carried on in many lands. When facilities are added to sanitariums that have been set in operation, let the additions be most thoroughly and firmly constructed. But there should be no large expenditure of means to secure every advantage at the beginning. The Lord calls upon us to do a work in many places. We shall have sanitariums that can be carried on without involving our cause heavily in debt. A word to the wise is sufficient. Let none think they must invest in the most costly conveniences. There is a more humble way of working successfully. Provide first the simpler appliances necessary for giving treatments. We need not now go to the expense of providing swimming pools and other costly facilities. A specious offer. Since daylight, I have written 11 pages in regard to the manufacture and sale of flake foods on the Pacific coast. Dr. Kellogg and his brother offer to sell for $45,000, the right to manufacture and sell cornflakes in a certain section. The light given me is that we are not to accept this offer. Neither the territory nor the knowledge regarding health foods belongs to Dr. Kellogg. This is the Lord's talent. He has not made it over to any man to be handled as his own property and invention, and to speculate upon for his own benefit. It has not been given to any man to be used to oppress his fellow men. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and shew mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Zechariah 7, verse 9-10. The third and fourth chapters of Malachi teach many important lessons. They are full of weighty sentences. We are to consider these chapters carefully. The Lord is weighing character. Every chapter of the work carried on in Battle Creek has been recorded in the books of heaven, from the first action to the last. Our people are not to invest large sums of money in the production of health foods. It has been plainly stated that the light regarding health foods was not given for one man's benefit alone. I have been given light on this subject. We are not to accept this offer. Our people can use the talent God has given them to prepare foods such as He would be pleased to have them prepare for the use of the common people. The Lord has given the sunshine and the rain, and has caused the fruit to grow, and the earth to produce that which may be prepared for the food of mankind. He requires His family diligently to till the soil, that it may produce those things that may be used as food. They are to plant the seed and care for it as it grows. This is the provision that He has made for man's food. He has given genius and tact to man, that he may prepare from the fruit of the earth a great variety of foods. Grains, vegetables, and fruits are to be planted and cultivated. The ground is to be dressed and worked, and the earth will produce her treasures. Men and women are to be taught how to prepare food for the common people. This branch of education is to be given a place in every school established. The students are to be patiently taught how to cook, as well as how to read. The very best methods are to be employed in teaching the industries essential to everyday life. Instruction is to be faithfully given in simple methods of treating the sick. The Lord has given to us as a people great knowledge upon health reform. The work is to go forward. But God forbid that the food business should continue to take so large a place as it has taken. The capabilities and talents of valuable workers are not to be confined to the production of foods, while spiritual interests become secondary. This is a matter that must be dealt with upon a right basis, else it will become a great hindrance to us in our work of soul saving. Any line of work from which is left out the essence of true service might better be turned over to the world. The talents of God's people are to be employed in lines of work in which they can be laborers together with Him. The will of Christ is to be our will. Union with Him means freedom of action. It means activity in the work for the accomplishment of which He gave His life. Anything that interposes between us and this work is to be discarded as a hindrance to true advancement. A caution against heavy investment in food manufacture. In the night season, a representation was given to me, and some instruction regarding the health food work. A few men were examining some plants having a tangled mass of roots. The roots on some of these plants were very long. Others had shorter roots. Those with the long roots looked healthy and promising, and men were rejoicing in the prospects of much fruit from these plants. Each seemed eager to secure the ones he regarded as the most promising, and there was strife and contention over them. One of authority appeared in the midst of them and said, "You do not need these long roots." "Why do we not need them?" some asked. "Because the Lord is honored only by those plants that are connected with fruit-bearing branches. You are greatly mistaken in supposing that these longer roots will bring forth fruit such as you desire. A large expenditure of means to secure possession of them will result in confusion and will involve you in difficulties that you do not now realize. The plants with the short roots are the ones you should select, for their cultivation will not absorb a large amount of means, and within a short time they will bear fruit to the glory of God. I was shown that the plants with the long, tangled roots represent certain food enterprises, which seem to be very promising, but which would produce but small returns in proclaiming God's redeeming love to man. These enterprises represent a large outlay of means, but they are not in harmony with the Lord's method of carrying forward His work, and they will result in entanglements. The plants with the short roots represent enterprises which will not require such a large outlay of means, but which will bring speedy returns in the advancement of the gospel and will result in the salvation of many souls. To us as a people, God has given the work of preaching in all parts of the world the gospel of the kingdom. Our means and talents are not to be bound up in the production of expensive foods. Our commission is to proclaim the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Education, our primary work. I am bidden to say that we are not largely to bind up talents in food enterprises. Our food stores and our restaurants have not been trees that have borne a large crop of fruit. There needs now to be a converting power among our workers. In our food work, we should study the simplicity of health reform. Better results will be seen if we devote our energies largely to the work of educating the people how to prepare simple, healthful foods in their own homes, instead of spending our entire time in the manufacture and sale of foods, which involve a large investment of means. Many are unable to purchase the manufactured health foods. By teaching these persons how to utilize the simple food products of the earth in a healthful manner, we shall reveal a spirit of true Christian benevolence. During the past night, I received this instruction for our brethren. Keep your money and deal in foods that are much less costly and which, prepared in a nutritious form, will answer every purpose. I call upon our people. Be not deceived. Be not decoyed. Neither begrudge to the speculating parties their wonderful advantages. The Lord bids me raise my voice in warning. Beware how you invest the Lord's money in things that you can get along without. Endeavor to produce less expensive preparations of the grains and fruits. All these are freely given us of God to supply our necessities. Health is not insured by the use of expensive preparations. We can have just as good health while using the simple food preparations from the fruits, grains, and the vegetables. Every feature of the third angel's message is to be proclaimed in all parts of the world. This is a much greater work than many realize. Our missionary enterprises are the one great object demanding our undivided attention at this time. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In this work, we are to study simplicity. This message is a testing message. Received into honest hearts, it will prove an antidote for all the world's sins and sorrows. No conditions of climate, of poverty, of ignorance, or of prejudice can hinder its efficiency or lessen its adaptability to the needs of mankind. The proclamation of the great gospel message is the work of the disciples of Christ. Some will labor for this in one way, and others will carry another branch of the work, as the Lord calls and directs them individually. All have not the same line of work, but all may unite in their efforts. The word of the living God is to be proclaimed throughout the world. The gospel is to go forth with great power, marked by practical manifestations of the Spirit of God. Our workers are to become a living agency to reveal the purpose of God in calling them to His work. The word of the glorious gospel is to be preached in its divine comprehensiveness. By the living voice and by kind, compassionate deeds, we are to exemplify the principles of the gospel. The simple, effective methods of teaching truth are represented by the short roots. The truth may be advanced by works of charity, by helping the ignorant, the sick, the hungry, and the helpless. But our work is not to be confined to the outcasts. The highways, as well as the byways, are to be thoroughly worked. The object of health food work. There was need for the establishment of the health food work and hygienic restaurants, and these have accomplished good. But they are not to become simply commercial enterprises. They are to be an object lesson. In the feeding of the 5,000, Christ passed food from his hands to the hands of the disciples. Of this we read, "So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down." John 6, verse 10, 11. The Word of God is here represented. The feeding of the 5,000 with food from the hands of the disciples prepared the way for the giving of the gospel message. It was done with thanksgiving. The feeding of the multitude represents the feeding of hungry souls with the bread of life. After the hunger of the people had been satisfied, the word was given: "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." John 6, verse 12. Then follows the history of Christ's giving the word of life. Although Christ could furnish a supply of temporal food as often as he desired, yet he did not often perform a like miracle. When the people saw this miracle, they said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." John 6, verse 14. Will they eat as readily of the bread of life, the word food, as they did of the temporal food? Their minds, corrupted by false teaching, would not so readily receive the word of eternal life. I have earnest words to speak to those who shall engage in the health food business. There is to be an entirely different feature brought into the work of our food stores, restaurants, and into every line in which our food productions are handled. This work must be carried forward as a means of gospel enlightenment to those who have not given themselves to the Lord. Those who handle these foods need daily the counsel of the one who created food for the 5,000 hungry men. The work of our food stores and restaurants must be carried on in such a way that there will be no loss financially. We must not forget that this line of work needs to live. But all corrupting influences must be weeded out from it. Keep on the gaining side, we must. But what is the use of carrying on this work if we have to sacrifice principles of justice, mercy, and the love of God? What is the use of carrying it on if through its influence no souls are enlightened and prepared to lay hold upon the word that is their spiritual food? Upon those connected with this work, there should be urged the necessity of calling the attention of the people with whom they are brought into contact to the truths of heavenly origin. There should be appointed to the health food work men who are well qualified to speak words in season and out of season, and who can enlighten the minds of men and women in regard to the truth. Special wisdom is needed in order to understand when to speak and when to keep silent. Let each worker pray much for spiritual understanding. Financial gain is to be made a secondary matter. Let the mind become spiritualized. Watch unto prayer. It is hard for some to admit that, to a great extent, selfishness controls their actions. The food business is a door through which we are to let our light shine forth. Jesus is watching, ready to help everyone who desires his help. My brethren, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Watch and pray, and work to answer your prayers by seizing the precious opportunities for service as they come. There is a genuine, sensible way in which to speak words of faith and encouragement. Paul, who had been greatly blessed by God, brought his religion into the workshop. Our workers may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and thus reap the very best results in their efforts to proclaim the truth. Such workers will not be satisfied unless they see something done. Often they will earnestly inquire of God, "Have I done all I might have done in sowing the seeds of truth?" Let our food stores and restaurants be provided with suitable reading matter, simply prepared tracts and papers, containing the truth in short, pointed articles. Thus, the workers can bring the truth for this time before the minds of those with whom they talk. The mind needs to be sanctified, that it may be worked by the Spirit of God. The words spoken in season and out of season may be good seed dropped in the soil of the soul. Those who claim to be Christians do not do half that they might for the Master. Beside all waters, the seed of truth is to be sown. Our restaurants and food stores must be made a means of enlightening minds. Let the workers have at hand leaflets and tracts containing the very best selections. If these cannot readily be sold, let them be given away, and good results will be seen from the seed thus sown. An effort should be made to utilize natural products for healthful foods. A good work along this line may be done at Loma Linda. Our brethren there should make a beginning soon, even if all the arrangements regarding this work cannot be definitely decided upon at this time. As our brethren at Loma Linda study how to make the health food work a means of bringing the truth for this time before the minds of unbelievers, the Lord will add His blessing and will make plain the course they should pursue in the conduct of the business. A similar work is to be carried forward in the southern states. Men and women who embrace the truth in the South will often need to be helped to find employment. Many will find opportunity to engage in evangelistic work, and these should learn, in connection with this work, to teach worldlings how to prepare simple, palatable food. Outside the city of Nashville, there are advantages that should be utilized in providing wholesome food for the people. Expensive buildings are not essential in order for this work to be carried forward. Let our health food men realize that the truth is to be sown beside all waters. My brethren in the health food work, speak words that will impress minds. Conduct meetings that will be a means of converting souls. In times past, I have written to our brethren in the South that as soon as they are prepared to carry forward the health food work in a proper manner, for the advancement of present truth, it would be well for them to make a beginning. If wise plans could be made to operate the food plant near Nashville, this would give opportunity for many to secure employment. But let not our brethren in the South, or in any other field, pay large sums for the privilege of manufacturing and handling expensive foods. We can use the productions that the Lord has given us. These are to be prepared by the skillful hands and minds of those whom the Lord shall teach. We need minds that can be worked in an unselfish way. Ultimate aim of health food work. When conducted in such a manner that the gospel of Christ is brought to the attention of the people, the health food work can be profitably engaged in. But I lift my voice in warning against efforts that accomplish nothing more than the production of foods to supply the physical needs. It is a serious mistake to employ so much time and so much of the talents of men and women in manufacturing foods while no special effort is made at the same time to supply the multitudes with the bread of life. Great dangers attend a work that is not for its object the revelation of the way of eternal life.